And hi everyone, welcome back to another Padre Cast. We brought it back last week, and we're going to continue rolling them out here, hopefully on a weekly basis, going up on Monday mornings. And I'm here once again with Fred, who I think we fixed the audio issues from last week, where you were coming through a little softer. So hey man, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, Pasta? Yeah, I think I got everything working now, so hopefully I'm a little bit louder so everyone can hear me, and we got the kinks all worked out on the technical side.
Yeah, good deal, good deal. So this is basically, well, we're recording it on the third anniversary of the website, and which is kind of a cool mark for me. 3 years ago, man, time flies. It's I rolled out the website, and we were both on staff at Sports Gamer at the time, and this was kind of a side project because I was frustrated with the situation and kind of how I was collared in and couldn't really do what I wanted there. And so I rolled out the website, and who knew that it was going to turn into what it did. I didn't even know it at the time, but it's pretty awesome to look back on and see the growth has just been astonishing. You were there with me at Sports Gamer. We had all those conversations at the time, and I know you probably understood how I was getting that out by doing the website. And so it's kind of cool to have not only the website how it is now, but also have you still around and a lot of the people in the forum that were originally around in Madden Nation days and Sports Gamer days.
Yeah, it's a pretty big accomplishment for you to start the site and then have it take off the way it did. I can't stress enough, people have always asked me, well, how is your site successful? Madden Nation, and then on a Sports Gamer, and then everything else, and what are you working on now? And I tell them, I'm working on a site with you. Or why don't you start another site? Like, the thing is, the internet is so saturated with sites, and I think what is unique about your site compared to, a bunch of other sites that are out there is, I think you took the approach of dealing more on the content and focusing more on the content rather than the forums. Whereas a lot of other sites, they start off with forums and then their main page and their content is really secondary. And I think that's what ends up holding a lot of these sites back, is that they're not able to really get people to even visit their main page because they're not even there for content. So I know that you worked on it, content really hard, especially like you said, we were working on Sports Gamer together, and yeah, I was as frustrated as you were with a lot of the stuff, and it was good to see that you're able to go and do your own thing, and then I think that's why it's successful, because you enjoy doing that part of it, and that's why it takes off. If you can do something that you enjoy, it doesn't even feel like work, and you're just going to keep working on it, and then eventually it'll get pretty big. And I think that we made the right choice after Sports Gamer closed its doors on moving over to your site. We thought, well, we kind of just want to have a small community. But you welcomed us, and I thought it was the best move for everyone, because like you said, you opened your site 3 years ago, but you, myself, a bunch of other guys on the forums, we've known each other a few years even longer than that. And we're all still together, and I think that that's pretty good for everyone.
Yeah, we've always had that base of that same base of users, and it's just a bunch of good guys, and always have a good time in the forum and everything. And like you said, when I started up the site, there was kind of the blueprint out there, but it was covering different aspects of gaming or different aspects of life. I mean, in terms of blogging and stuff, it was just kind of getting traction, and I took the approach that I would build kind of from the content, and then the forums would be supplementary. A lot of other sites, you're right, go the other direction. They start with forums, and content kind of produces out of that. And the approach that I took, I feel like that was unique at the time, at least in terms of sports gaming, certainly, and that's why it's still around. And I get the same questions all the time about, how do you get people to your website? How do you start a new website? And it's not simple. I mean, a lot is based on the timing. A lot is based on, I didn't just start a website out of nowhere. I built up a following at a different website. I built relationships there. It's not like I just threw a website out and started posting links around at places. So, right,
And
you know how things go.
it kind of helps when you're on EA's payroll, and you're able to get all this stuff from them, right?
Thanks. Yeah, because look at all the stuff that EA provides me with. I mean, come on. I get a kick out of it because it doesn't matter. No matter what my opinion is, there's going to be somebody who disagrees, and which is totally fine. And you know, I've learned over the years, maybe at first, people making accusations and calling me names and stuff bothered me a little. Now it just rolls off your back. It just comes with the territory, you know. You know, the other interesting thing about my website is, and I haven't written about this, but I don't particularly have a strong relationship with any of these companies. They all, I think in a sense, PR, video game PR, at least in the sports gaming world, hasn't adapted to the new way of, and I don't consider myself a journalist, but to the new way of how their games are talked about, how information flows. And you know, oftentimes, at all of these companies, oftentimes I'll post stories where it doesn't put them in a good light, and I don't think they're used to that yet. And but you know, I cherish the ability to have that independence and post what I want when I want. And while I try to be fair to both sides, I certainly, you know, I try to represent the community at the same time. But yeah, you know, that I just want to kind of mention the 3rd year anniversary. It's kind of cool, and we came from sort of the same background, and now we're you were doing the Mad Nation podcast, now we're doing these, and it's just kind of fun to see where we've come from. So, just gonna run down a few sports gaming topics now. Like I mentioned in the last podcast and in the write-up about it, we'll probably do a rundown kind of the sports gaming and then the entertainment in each podcast. So, you know, Madden 11, first screenshots and info came out. The first couple screens anyway, maybe weren't as impressive as NCAA football's. And then the first blog was about the sideline, wide receiver sideline interaction and catch animations and stuff. Nothing too exciting, but then again, we're in March. And then EA put out the Phillip Rivers screenshot, which I thought was really probably one of the better ones I've seen for any sports game. I mean, it's March, and we're not even used to getting info before the draft anyway, so it's kind of cool to get something now. Another Madden topic, I had a story up yesterday about Chris Johnson, and he feels he's the only guy in the NFL who should be on Madden this year. He put up big numbers. Big numbers don't necessarily equate to cover athletes. I mean, Vince Young, I mean, this is 3 years ago. Here's another thing I didn't even mention in the article, but they're not going to put Tennessee Titans on a cover twice in a span of 4 years. So, but numbers never drive the cover athlete. I mean, occasionally, Sean Alexander might be an example of somebody who put up record-breaking numbers when he broke the touchdowns in the 2006 season. But other than that, I mean, you had McNabb, you had Vince Young, you had Favre. Then, you know, Fitzgerald and Polamalu, those guys weren't breaking records throughout the season. But, you know, what do you think, Chris Johnson, cover athlete?
Well, I mean, it's not like I don't think the guy's not good enough to be on the cover, but it's like you
Sure.
said, I think that his reasoning that, you know, he broke, you know, 2,000 yards and he had a monster season numbers wise, you know, but I still don't think that justifies that he should be on the cover. I mean, you look at it, his team didn't even make the playoffs.
Yeah. I
So,
mean,
and yeah, I think like what you said, two Tennessee Titans in the span of however many years
and don't
that
forget they had Eddie George on there in the early 2000s. I mean, is there any team that's even had other than the Titans even had two? I can't imagine they'd get three within the span of like 10 years.
I mean, he if he got it, it's not like I don't think that he wouldn't deserve to be on there, but at the same time, I think there's a lot of other people out there who are just even more or as much deserving as he is.
Look, and these type of comments are exactly why he probably wouldn't be on the cover anyways. I mean, they want somebody who's going to be reliable, who's going to be you know, good with dealing with promotion, going out and promoting the game, doing interviews on the game, stuff like that, and somebody who's going to come out and make comments like this, make comments about how they should be the highest paid player in the league. It's probably not the image they're trying to push, especially these days with the way games are or athletes are covered. And after Tiger Woods and Gilbert Arenas and Michael Vick, you know, these companies are going to be careful with who they put on their cover. Drew Brees, you don't have to worry about that guy going out and fighting dogs, you know. He's not going to go out. He's not going to make it rain in a club. So, you know, they're going to be, you know, 2K Sports has been pretty careful with their cover athletes. But even Tim Lincecum got nabbed with marijuana. So, I mean, you got these. They're gonna restrict the possibility of controversy down the line.
Well, especially with a game like Madden. I mean, I think Madden and NCAA football are like two of the biggest games when it comes to cover athletes. You know, it seems to be talked about a lot more than any of the baseball games or even the basketball games, you know. So especially with Madden, and you kind of mentioned it already, you know, got Tiger Woods already with EA Sports. I don't think they're looking for any more negative publicity when it comes to putting a cover athlete on there. Not that Chris Johnson is, you know, terrible person to have on the cover, but, you know, I would think that they would try to go in another direction, like you said, maybe put someone like Drew Brees or something like that.
Yeah, it's I just we look at like NCAA covers coming up and Tim Tebow, they're not worried about him getting into trouble, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so last year they put Crabtree on, and not necessarily got into trouble, but he held out and everything. They're gonna be more careful. So, you know, Tim Tebow, Colt McCoy, probably not a troublemaker. Sam Bradford, probably not a troublemaker. Eric Berry, probably not a troublemaker. C.J. Spiller, probably not a troublemaker. Yeah. Those guys, you know, they're gonna fit what they're looking for and the image they're trying to portray. So. Yeah, you know, it just made for kind of an interesting topic, and I see a lot of people, Chris Johnson, yeah, you know, he's got the numbers, but that's not all that goes into this. And there's also contract talks, and they can't just say, okay, vote for any guy in the NFL. EA has to have a contract with these guys in case they get voted in. Mm-hmm. So they've got the three. They've got Drew Brees. They've got Reggie Wayne, not going to win. They've got Jared Allen, not going to win. I was just kind of bothered that they put Jared Allen there, and he's a we talk about image and everything, and he's had three DUIs.
yeah. I guess, you know, because it happened a while back. It's kind of, you know, I know, as a Bears fan, I didn't forget that because we seem to bring it up every time we try to insult the Vikings. But you know, I know that a lot of, like, they think, okay, well, it's 3 years ago. He's probably changed and blah, blah, blah. But still, you know, you still think about it.
You thought he changed after his second DUI, right?
Yeah. Third time's the charm, I guess. Now he's learned his lesson. So.
Yeah. A couple other articles that I put up over the past week that might be worth checking out for you guys. Pay for demos. The idea came out, and this was mostly driven by an analyst, but the idea came out that EA could start offering demos for games, and not just talking EA Sports, but company-wide, like extended demos, where you get a couple hours worth of play out of it and charging for it like $10. I don't think we're going to see that necessarily with the sports games. I think we're going to see some more experimentation with demos. Last year was kind of a rough year for demos. They treated them with pre-order incentives, and Madden had a one-minute quarter demo. I mean, those are... Fight Night had demos out at all different times. Demos coming out, you know, certain weeks on 360, different weeks on PS3. I mean, it was a mess. So I think we're going to see something, whether they're extended demos, whether they charge, I doubt it. But, we already had, I go into it in the article, but we already had a pay for demo. It was NBA 2K10's Draft Combine. It basically was what we're talking about now, an extended experience where they charged $5. You got kind of a head start on the My Player mode. So, I don't think it's anything to panic about. EA says they're absolutely not going to charge for demos, regular demos anyway. So, you know, I think a lot of people just jump in the gun on that. Also, I posted an article based on the poll results of the player face comparisons for MLB 10 The Show and MLB 2K10. The Show came out on top with 11 wins to 8 for 2K10, and there was one, literally a tie, four votes separating, and that's pretty crazy considering there's about 5,000 votes on that one player. So 46,000 votes cast total. MLB 2K10 has gotten better in this regard. So still, I think, comes out on top graphically. Jumping over to entertainment, got the cancellation of 24. This used to be one of my favorite shows. I still watch it because, you know, you get to a point in the show where you're invested in it no matter how. I mean, Heroes. I still watch Heroes, and I hate it.
Yeah.
But I'm invested in it. So this season, everybody knew it kind of could be the end. But they're going back to the well on moles at CPU. It's frustrating. There's been some good episodes, but, I mean, they've run out of ideas. So they're going to start working on the movie. It's supposed to be out in 2012. Do you ever watch 24, Fred?
Not a single episode.
Wow,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, never watched
Man.
It. I remember, you know, every time I was watching football on Sundays, even when that show first came out, I saw the commercial for it so many times that I'm like, I'm not watching this. This is Kiefer Sutherland. So.
Oh yeah, well we've had some interesting threads over the years about Kiefer, haven't we?
Yeah. So I haven't seen. Not one episode of this, and so when I heard it was canceled, I thought, oh, well, no big deal for me. But I know that there are a lot of people out there who love this show. I'm just not one of them. So.
Yeah. You know, season one was great. Really, season one through five was great. The show peaked season five.
Yeah.
Amazing season. And then season six was absolutely horrible. And ever since, it's never really gained footing again. But
how many years has it been on the air?
This is season eight now. I mean, for a show that came with a completely unique concept, kind of changed television actually, because it's one of the first shows really, or maybe it was the first, I'm not sure, that ran straight through. So you had 24 straight episodes over 24 weeks, as opposed to how a lot of the networks, you know, they don't do it with Lost anymore. They've learned from that. But Lost had seasons where you'd get four episodes and then have like 3 weeks of reruns and then be back to the new ones.
Yeah.
And that totally degraded the ratings, and people just don't return like that. I mean, we're seeing it with like Flash Forward now, which was dropping in ratings. They decided, okay, well, we'll bring it back in March, 3.5 months later. people aren't going to just all of a sudden start watching it.
Yeah.
You're going to start losing people that way. And so 24 was one of the first shows really to introduce that whole run straight through. Because you can't do reruns on 24. I mean, it's real time, so there's no point to watching a rerun. And it wouldn't fit in the scheme of things. So, but you know, it was a fascinating show, really, and they're going to take the movie and kind of keep the format. Just in, it's going to be a full day. It's going to be 24 hours, but they're compacting that into 2 hours. So it's not going to be real time, but it's still going to incorporate one day's worth of events. The next thing kind of ties into the next few ties into each other, and we'll start with Transformers casting news. You posted the article on this, and they're bringing in who we got: John Malkovich, Francis McDormand, and Ken Jeong.
Yeah.
Yeah. My first reaction to this was, okay, typical Michael Bay, right? Ken Jeong. Here's the comic relief for the movie. I don't know if he's going to be like humping another guy's leg like that robot or get peed on or something, but that's. Like in the first one, but that's totally a Michael Bay. I can see where that fits in. Malkovich, pretty cool addition, I think. We'll have to see what they do here. What do you think about these guys?
Well, it was like I mentioned in the article. I was kind of surprised when I saw Malkovich and McDormand mentioned in there as being added to the cast, because I've only seen them in, like, you know, somewhat serious roles. And to see them in this movie, I thought, well, this isn't a really serious movie. But then I thought, you know, we did see a lot, like, you know, with what's his name, John Voight, and with the government and all that. So I could see them doing this with one of them. But then I also read, after I posted this on another site, that they're saying that John Malkovich is being cast as Shia LaBeouf's boss. So, you know, so that's his role. But I think that McDormand would probably be something on a somewhat serious role, like maybe with the government or something. But Ken Jeong, I saw he was on there. I'm like, oh, I kind of like him in his movies that he makes, you know, his little cameos in and stuff, because I think he makes the most of them. Like, I do remember the guy quite a bit in The Hangover. You know, he had a small role in there. I remember him in Pineapple Express. And so for me, it's just like, I enjoy him because he's in the movies that I've liked him in, his character's not overdone, you know. He was in, what was that movie with Stiff, The Role Models. Oh, there was too much of him in that movie. Like, I couldn't stand him in that.
Yeah, he has to be, small doses, right?
Yeah. And so when I saw that, I thought, okay, if he gets a small part, you know, I'll probably remember him, like, and start laughing whenever I see him on the screen or something. But I don't picture him having that big of a role. But the other two, I think, are great additions, especially because I think that they have a lot of credibility as actors, you know. And so this is definitely going to help them, which is weird for a Michael Bay movie, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, has he learned? I mean, original Transformers, one of my favorite movies maybe ever, and I think a lot of that had to do with this nostalgic feeling I had when I went to it, because, you know, I grew up on Transformers, so that was pretty, it was awesome experience. And then the second one, I was really disappointed in. I went into it with high hopes, and you know, the action was great, but come on, it's time to step it up. I mean, we have these comic book movies these days that have taken a darker tone and gotten more serious. I'd
Yeah.
like to see Transformers do something like that, and
Well, he did
who
say
knows?
that, but Bay did say a while ago, remember, that this next film wasn't going to be as robot heavy. So maybe we're going to see more
More
detail care.
Canjong.
Yeah, more Ken Jeong. That's what I want right there. No,
Yeah.
a little bit more detail with the characters, or maybe even a little bit more in depth about the robots that I've already been introduced from the previous movies, you know?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, there were some cool robots that in the last one that got like 15 seconds of screen time.
Yeah.
Like there was a kick-ass sequence in the opening. I forget the which one he was, but sawed the one car in half.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, and that robot never showed back up.
Well, maybe we'll see a Ken Jeong robot. I mean,
that's
that's what
all
we
we
really
need.
yeah, that's what we want right there, Ken
Yeah,
Jeong.
that's all we need. So more on Michael Bay. He came out and he basically. He's been against 3D from the start. Of course, Avatar changed the way everybody looks at 3D, and Paramount is gonna pressure him to use 3D regardless. But he came out and he had some footage from the previous Transformers movies tested with the conversion to 3D, and he didn't like it. He said it basically looks fake, and you know it's probably gonna, like I said, Transformers 3 probably gonna end up in 3D. But I have to agree with him on the conversion being. I don't know if I'd say it looks fake, but it doesn't change the experience. I went and saw Alice in Wonderland, a conversion. Was not impressed with the 3D. I mean, the biggest thing that told me it wasn't impressive was the 8-year-old girl I was there with said that we didn't really need to have seen that one in 3D. And that's the first time she's ever said anything like that.
Yeah.
So we have another converted coming up, and that's Clash of the Titans. I may just skip the 3D on that one and see it in regular 2D. I like the by the way, I like the ads for that movie where Clash of the Titans in 3D, also in 2D. It's like they make it sound like it's second class, you know.
Yeah.
That's what they want. I mean, they're charging more for these tickets now, and that was another story we had up. Theaters raised ticket prices this last weekend. Regular tickets about 4%, 3D 8%,
Yeah.
IMAX 10%. So now I think the average 3D ticket is like $15.
That's ridiculous. I mean, like, and they're wanting to curb piracy. I mean, it's like, I don't think that's
Well,
gonna
that's
happen with raising these prices.
yeah. So I guess that's the idea right now, though, is you can get you can't get the 3D experience anywhere but the theater. Eventually that'll change, but right now they're like, okay, we can raise the tickets. Because if you buy a pirated, or if you download it off the internet, or buy a pirated copy off the street, you're not getting 3D no matter what. But yeah, it's making me more selective. Like I said, I may skip Clash of the Titans into 3D because I mean, I went with that girl to see Alice in Wonderland. Cost us like $28. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, that
and
doesn't
that's
even
just the
count
movie.
the $15. Yeah, that doesn't count the $15 I spent on a popcorn and a drink. Oh,
Yeah, I know,
man.
and he's not the first director that's said that. I remember what God, my mind went blank. The guy who just did Avatar, James Cameron.
Cameron?
Yeah, he was saying that he didn't like the just redoing it in 3D either. That the way to really get the full effect is to shoot the whole thing in 3D. So he's not Bay's not the first one to say that. But then the Snyder, Zack Snyder was talking about 300, and he in the studio redid a clip of 300 in 3D, and he loved it. He thought it was amazing. So I don't know. I don't know if it's the guys who are really 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 hardcore visuals, directors, if they're saying this, but it's not like 300 was chopped liver. I mean, that was
Oh,
visually
no.
a really good movie at the time, and it came out in 07 at the IMAX, and I saw it and I thought, holy crap, this is phenomenal the way it looks. I could only imagine what it looked like in 3D, so.
Yeah, another director, Christopher Nolan, and he's been kind of, I don't know, it's maybe skeptical on 3D, but he working for Warner Brothers with Inception, and Warner Brothers is a studio who says now pretty much every big movie they have is going to be 3D. So that has a lot of people worried that they're going to take Inception and basically screw it up, because this is not a movie that needs to be in 3D. I mean, it is a visually unique movie, People really don't even know that much about it yet. But I think the idea that everything has to be 3D is probably the wrong way to go. There are directors out there who believe, you know, we're going to have dramas in 3D sooner or later. Just every movie is going to be in 3D. And I think eventually we're going to end up with people buy, you know, hey, you know, get your Transformers 3 special edition 3D glasses. People are going to pay like $50 for their own personal pair of 3D glasses. It's going to happen. And then they're going to find a way to brand it like that. And you're going to have, oh, you know, I got my Optimus Prime glasses. You know, people, you know, those geeks will buy those. But yeah, so all this stuff about 3D and ticket prices and stuff, it's interesting. This weekend we had How to Train Your Dragon release. Great reviews. Everybody's saying the 3D is beautiful on that because it was designed with that in mind. But also, I mean, it made about $44 million this weekend, and which is a little lower than I think maybe what I expected. It was about industry expectations, but I wonder if there isn't going to be a little bit of 3D fatigue here, and if we're going to see that with Clash of the Titans not breaking out huge or something. We'll have to see where that goes. So, a couple questions for you, Fred. Any good TV shows you're into lately? I know we both watched Survivor.
You know, I've been watching that, and oh my God, like I was so pumped at the last weekend or last week when Russell, the move that he pulled, and I mean I like it was me and my wife were talking about it, and we're like, oh my God, I can't believe he did that, and that it ended up working the way it did. I mean, that idiot Tyson was like, yeah, I think it's a good move. I'm gonna vote for her too. And then,
Tyson.
yeah, and then it was like I was. You know, I've been into that show so much this season that I woke up the next morning as I'm getting ready for work, and I tell him, I can't believe that move worked out so well for Russell. So I've been watching Survivor. I know you watch that because we talk about it on the forums. I've also been watching How to Make It in America. You know, that show's kind of picked up the previous like two or three episodes before last week's. I thought, I'm like, man, I don't think I can watch this show anymore. It's just kind of dragging. It hasn't really picked up, but last episode last Sunday was pretty good, and so I think I'm going to continue to watch it. And then I started watching the Pacific, that miniseries on HBO, and you know, that's been good. So other than that, I haven't really watched too many shows. It's pretty much Sunday night I watch those two on HBO, and then Thursdays I watch Survivor. What about you?
Yeah, all those. Enjoy all those. The other two I'm really into right now. Kind of a fun show, Ricky Gervais show on HBO. I don't know if you should give that a shot. It's basically they've taken the podcast that he and the couple guys he's with over the past couple of years and basically just taken that audio, but then they've animated it. Hilarious stuff, hilarious stuff. And then I am so hooked on Spartacus right now.
Oh yeah,
That
I've heard
show.
good things about that show.
Okay, like anybody who wants to give this show a try, it's on Starz. You can also see it if you have Netflix. You can watch you can stream it, stream all the episodes. The show has gotten amazing. The first episode I didn't like it. Second and third episode didn't really care for it. I gave it a chance. Once it hit that fourth episode, it has been nonstop awesome. I mean, like every week tops the previous, and it's crazy to see how people have turned their thoughts on the show around from the start. Because pretty much everyone agrees that it was rough at the start. It wasn't very you know, I didn't get sucked into the story, didn't get sucked into the characters. The visuals were way exaggerated. Everything about this show is exaggerated, but they've kind of toned it down since. Like I watched this previous week's episode last night. Unbelievable, because this show does not, it's not saving characters. You know, pretty much anyone can die, and they do die. And then there's, I mean, it's if you enjoy nudity, it's also a good one. Ton of violence, ton of blood, but man, it is getting so good. So yeah, Spartacus, I would totally recommend. Stick it through the first three episodes, and you'll be hooked. Anything else going on in the forum of note, Fred? I mean, I know I throw out there a few days ago the idea of doing an ad for the website. Do you remember that? Using Google?
Yes, I do remember that.
I'm not sure I'm thrilled with the concepts people have thrown out, but yeah, there's this thing on Google where you can basically submit your advertisement, and the cost is pretty reasonable. I mean, I was looking to to go ahead and invest in an ad, and then you basically can select where it plays. And we're talking nationwide. You can choose ESPN if you want, choose the time slot you want it to fall into.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, when you put it and how long and time of day and stuff affects how much it costs. But I thought it was a cool concept that I'd be willing to give a shot. And then some people ran with ideas in there.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I really want the image of my website being urinating.
Yeah,
but okay.
That's what everyone seemed to be fixated on, was pee-pee. Or
yeah, yeah, yeah. Which, you know, I'm sure that was probably, I don't know if that was an outsider idea or LV Radio
idea. I think
idea.
It was LV Radio. I don't think it
yeah.
was.
One of those guys, one of those guys is going to, there's always going to be something about urinating pretty much in every post.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I just thought that was kind of fun, fun idea, and who knows. But is there anything else going on in the forums? I mean, we still got a bunch of leagues going on, and we will have a UFC league and all that. But you know, everybody, go ahead and check out the forum if you like. There's a bunch of weird stuff in there. You can drop some advertising ideas if you want. Try to go away from bodily functions, and who knows. But yeah, so I think that'll do it for today, Fred. Thanks again for joining in. It was a pretty fun time. I think, you know, I think these are going to be fun. They're going to get more natural as they go. I don't consider myself a natural host, but who knows? I get more comfortable, talking every time. So, anything you want to add before we get out of here?
No, that's it. Just cool. Congratulations again on the 3-year site, and, you know, hopefully it continues on for more years.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening, and, take care, and see you next week. Take care.